You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Podcast episode 84, I think.
Good enough.
I just looked at it. Whatever. The episode after the last episode. My name is Don, and with me as always is Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing all right. It's the day after one of those long weekends, and I guess I have holiday hangover, but I don't know. Nothing too much to complain about.
Nah, get over it. Extra day off, not a bad thing.
It's not. Hey,
today's July 5th, 2016. Yesterday was a holiday in America.
It's true.
So, Jeff, you know who never takes a holiday? Jeff?
Freedom. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And
also niftyled.com.
Nice.
Niftyled.com, your source for pinball LEDs, balls, tools, and more. Check out niftyled.com. You get free shipping over $100, $6 flat rate shipping under $100, and a nifty redesigned website. And on top of all that, use code millionaire for 5% off your order. Let them know the Pinball Podcast sent you. And they gave away a book on how to become a millionaire.
Yeah. No, I say it's not the type of secret that you generally just give away, but
no,
that's the nifty way.
But the guys at Nifty, Scott Larson is our winner. You'll be hearing that name a lot this episode. He wins the How to Become a Millionaire book, and Jeff will get that to you. I think you guys have a hookup. Did you see, I don't think I mentioned it on the last show. I think I forgot to mention it on the last show. There was a meme that said the fastest way to become a millionaire in this hobby is to start out as a billionaire.
Yeah, I did see that.
Very accurate, I would assume.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that.
Sure. So, Jeff, what have you been doing in pinball?
Well, I went on another road trip. I mentioned in the last show that I was possibly going to do that, and I did do that. So I drove out to Colorado again, and I picked up a couple of EMs, both wedge heads, and I got Central Park and Ice Review. I mentioned both of them last show, but yeah, Ice Review is one that just clicked with me back at Pinagogo, and I found myself just playing it and playing it and playing it. And then when I had a chance to pick one up, I had to jump. And at the same time, a seller offered the Central Park, which is another great game from that era, so I took that as well. Got them home, went to go set them up, and realized that I had left the keys over in Colorado, so waited for those to get shipped over, and everything was fine after that. They showed up, and man, my wife and kids totally took to those EMs. They really, really like them, which is nice. It's always good when you get a new game and you turn the kids and your wife loose on it, and it's all smiles from there. So It's fun. Yeah, I'm totally digging them.
You didn't want to just drill the locks?
No, I actually didn't. It's not like, yeah, like I considered it for about 10 seconds, but Colorado's one stayed over and it's basically next day shipping. So
okay.
I was okay waiting. And I still have that Meteor sitting in my garage that I have not put my full attention to. But I just went ahead and ordered a new board for that that needs to be replaced rather than doing the work on it. I'm getting lazy in my old age, I guess, but I should get to that probably tomorrow, and later this week, Ghostbusters LA should be showing up, because it shipped late last week, so that's what I've been doing.
Any day now.
Yeah, any day. It's supposed to be in Denver today, and from Denver, it's one day to Salt Lake, and then obviously they have to prep it for the local delivery, so sure. Yeah. It's probably
so
Thursday,
praying Friday. That it, you're praying the forklift operators are sober.
Yeah, like,
and well rested.
I mean, I'm not so eager that I'm like, oh, I'll go pick it up at the terminal, especially since I've already paid for it. I might as well have them deliver it. But every time it switches hands, there's just that risk of incompetence. And I've seen what a new unboxing looks like with a giant forklift hole on the side, and it's sad.
Accidents happen, bud.
It'll be all right, though.
My Metallica came with a giant hole in the side of the box, but no damage.
That's good.
Yes. It was a little bit of a clincher, but no damage.
Yeah, the Iron Man I got, that was new in box, and the top was all scorched, like black. And I still don't know what happened, but it was centered,
the top of the box.
Yeah, it was centered around the staples, you know, those big brassy type staples. So something must have electrified him. I don't know exactly what in the world would have done that, but luckily the scorching was just on the outside and nothing on the inside, because burn marks would have been really crappy to have on the machine. But that was a weird one too. That, and there was a big dent in it, but again, no damage. So thank goodness.
Blessed. Very blessed.
Blessed. Hashtag blessed.
It's odd that review and review, R-E-V-I-E-W, are not mixed up in all the memes and whatnot online. All the articles about the English language. You don't see review and review pop up very often.
Maybe it's time.
Yeah, we need to knock the dust off. What is it? R-E-V-U-E?
Yeah. A show of sorts.
You don't really hear that anymore. Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe it's just with the decline of old-timey performances, you know?
Yeah.
A piece of Americana that we've lost.
We need more old-timey performances.
Or ice skating shows.
There's still a lot of shows.
Yeah. But see, that they're called shows now, because the sequel to Ice Review is Ice Show, right?
Possibly. I don't know. Okay. Sorry. Tangent. So, Jeff, you know I got a new game, right?
Yeah, and you won't tell me what it is because you're a jerk.
I have not told you what it is, but it is an A-list title. Somebody emailed me saying they need to sell it right away. They found the Duke City Pinball thing on Facebook. So I said, I don't want to buy it, but I can go take a look at it, let you know what it's worth, and, you know, help you sell it or whatever.
And you bought it.
So I went over and looked at it. And I told them in an email that I thought the game would be worth between $2,500 in bad condition and as high as $5,000 if it was in okay condition, you know, good condition. So I went over and looked at this game, and it was in pretty rough condition. One flipper was totally taken apart, no lights at all on lines in the DMD. The bottom of the cabinet was kind of coming apart, and so they'd put drywall screws in it. And one corner had been kind of pulled apart a little bit. Now, it's not awful. The game is okay underneath all that. Those are just kind of the highlights.
Sounds like a Whitewater, but I don't know.
It's not a Whitewater.
Dang.
So I told him somebody would probably give him $2,000. He said, well, what would you give me right now? And I said, I don't know. All my gut said $1,800, and he said, sold.
The Shadow?
No. So I bought an Addams Family.
Oh, cool.
For $1,800.
That is a deal. At any condition.
So that night I think he could have gotten $2,500 if he had held out. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't an awful condition. There's no burn marks. There was one chip in the paint. It had been well loved. It was definitely dirty. But I think it'll come back to be a good player's game.
That's cool. No, like, there's times when you know you can get more for a game, but you're just at that point where, like, I'm just ready to be done with it. So, he probably
knows.
I felt
like if I fixed it up, I could get $35 for it. But my buddy came over that night and looked at it, and he really wanted it. He wanted a project game, and he, was like, we were messaging back and forth, kept messaging about it, which is fine. Anyway, I decided I did not need any more projects since I still have a Pinbot and Whirlwind in the garage. So I traded him for a World Cup Soccer.
So you have a World Cup Soccer now?
No, I don't.
Oh.
So he brought that over on Sunday and we swapped it. And Sunday night, I sold the World Cup Soccer.
Did you even play the World Cup soccer?
I played one game. You know, I knew what I was getting into. I trust the seller, and it's one that I used to own, so.
Yeah, it's still Papa Duke's best game, you know.
It is a very good game. But anyway, so I sold it. And I did all of this. My wife was out of town for 8 days, as you know, because I kept complaining about it. They picked it up, and it was gone about 10 minutes before she got back. So she never saw the Addams Family, did not even know about the World Cup soccer.
But you were flush with cash.
Well, I wasn't flush with cash. I mean, I still spent $1,800. And I, you know, I'll say that it was an even trade. I felt good about the trade. I didn't feel like I was taking advantage of anybody.
You slept and okay? I made
a couple $100 that, you know, I did have to move games back and forth all over and stuff, so.
Some sweaty.
Paid for my time.
Sweaty back.
I'm okay with that.
Well, you know, just right now, there's several Hobbits for sale on Pinside, including number 22. That's a pretty low number.
That is a low number. I'm good. I was very tempted to immediately put up a wanted ad for Roller Coaster Tycoon, but I have an empty spot now, and I want to bring Pinbot or Whirlwind in the house so I can really start going through them.
Yeah, once they get in the house, those projects actually start getting done, because there's nothing worse than having an unworking or like poor condition game in the house with the other nice games.
Right.
So they become like immediate priority. I used to not move them out of the garage until they were perfect. Then I realized if I just got them out and into the house, I could really make sure that I got them done. So.
Right. It's super hot in the garage, and I actually have a refrigerated air unit in there, but it's not enough. You have to be sitting like right in front of it, and I need to bring one of them into the house and just deal with it in here.
Yeah, I used to get so locked into my restorations and stuff that I could, like, tell myself it wasn't stupid hot in the garage, but I couldn't ignore that, like, sweat drops were dripping off my nose onto the playfield as I was cleaning or taking things apart. And
Yeah. You kind of get used to it, but it's still not comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's kind of a fun way to end up with where you started, but
yeah, well, it was win-win. Somebody got a project they really wanted, another guy got a World Cup soccer he really wanted, and I wasn't out anything doing the trade for both of them.
No. So. Sometimes it's fun just to be in the middle of games passing hands too, like,
yeah,
I've done that.
I knew the one guy wanted the World Cup, so, and the other guy, you know, wanted to get rid of the World Cup, so this was a way to make that happen. Now, if the guy hadn't bought the World Cup, then I'd have to deal with Craigslist, which isn't a huge deal, but many more steps would have taken place. But it's okay.
It's a good way to invite more weirdos into your life that you just don't need to do.
I've been pretty fortunate with Craigslist overall. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's my little story. And we got a couple emails about the website, and I kind of talked to you about it, but I know at least Scott and Dennis both wrote in. I want to say somebody else. And I kind of got my gears turning on how to make the website better and put in more information that's easy to access, like what our current game room looks like or what games we have in there with one click, and even finding episodes and whatnot. Anyway. So we're thinking about things. We're going to make things happen.
Yeah. And I guess what it come down to is we just never really did much with the site besides, like, the random article.
Set it up.
We're dumping, you know, our show feed onto it and hosting some stuff. But, yeah, we could definitely use it for more. I think part of the reluctance to do much is it seems like every time we start getting traction with doing something, some sort of automatic update or something –
right.
Tends to screw
WordPress
screw
keeps
stuff.
Screwing us.
Massive new feature to the site is every time you refresh the page or go to a new page, you get a new header image, which is random.
Wow.
How about that? Right now I'm looking at Wizard of Oz, and if I refresh it, I'm going to get Ghostbusters.
Nice. Where are those pictures pulled from?
I uploaded them to the site, and now I'm on Simpsons Pinball Party.
You put a little bank in there or something?
Yeah. Cool. There's only like 10 right now, but I'm just going to keep adding to those. So for those who do browse the site, There's a little... Oh, I got that scary clown from Hurricane staring into my soul. Okay. Nice. Anyway, but no, that's a good idea. I think we can definitely do more at the site. By the way, the comment that we got about being able to do a pop-out player, mm-hmm. if you click play a new window that's right below the player, that'll just open a new browser window for you, and then you can not worry about it. But the pop-up player is something we can add as well.
Pro tip.
So, yeah, just do play a new window, and that'll get you halfway there.
Cool. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I vote we do news, and then we go into feedback.
Let's do that. We asked for
listener submissions, so we have a lot of feedback and questions and stuff that will probably be the bulk of the show, but we're not going to go crazy either. Okay. So news, Comet Pinball was purchased.
It was?
By Ryan Wenger and Janet Ehlers of Colorado. And I know Ryan, he bought my Batman Dark Knight, and I bought his Break Shot last year.
And he ran the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, he ran the tournaments for Rocky Mountain this year and did a great job. So
I assume he's a good guy.
I don't think I know Janet, but... sent Ryan an email when I found out, and he is very excited about this new adventure. And Art was a great guy, you know, over at Comet. So he just wanted to do something different or
retire
or whatever. So
yeah.
So win-win. So congratulations to Ryan and Janet and Art.
Exactly.
And Titan was also purchased, and I forget the owner's names, but they immediately unveiled a lot of new colored rubbers, like oddball ones, weird, like skinny stern posts and things that you haven't seen before. So that's very cool too.
Yeah.
So congratulations to those people, those folks at Titan. Also, we recorded the day after Domino's pictures were leaked, and then the day after we recorded a video popped up. So after seeing the video, what do you think? It was a short, the video I saw anyway was pretty short, like 3 or 4 minutes maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I expected, but I don't know, I'd like to see a little bit more polished video to be able to judge too much, but
yeah,
it was, I think, kind of like what we were thinking, somewhat of a cross between America's Most Haunted and Rob Zombie, just with a little bit more flow. And we mentioned, like, we were talking about how that pizza oven worked. It does kind of make that turn into it and then drop down into the kicker. So that was kind of cool. I would have liked to have been able to hear it better. And I still think they should do their hardest to try and either get outright or just get something very close sounding to the old Yo-Noid soundtrack from the NES. Because that music would be perfect for that game. Do you remember the music in Yo-Noid?
I don't remember the music in it. I was not blown away by the music in the pin.
I couldn't really hear it very well.
Hear it that clearly, though. Yeah. I have played the Yo-Noid game, but I do not recall the music. Sorry.
It's just very cheery, obviously chiptune-y, as it was a chiptune. And now I'm looking it up because... it's awesome. Yeah, there's Very a YouTube playlist that has all 21 tracks there.
Oh, you gotta save that link. Throw it in the show notes.
That's what I'm doing here, is I'm getting it.
Thank you, sir. It does kind of look like a Flash game come to life. I don't know. Not a bad thing. It sounds like the rules are going to be cool, so excited to try it out someday. It seems like the ramp is a bit of a, I don't know, missed opportunity. Like it really just doesn't do much. It seems like a scoop or something that just fed into that scoop would be adequate, but it's different, kind of cool.
Yeah,
not gonna knock it till I play it, obviously. And I do still love the art and everything. It looks like a really polished package.
Oh, I love the art on it. Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I thought Rob Zombie was a lot more fun to play than it was to watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It feels better than... it still feels like the playfield art on Rob Zombie was a bit of a miss because it's so monotone, but it does feel exciting to play. And then we had another game kind of revealed. This was, I don't know, I guess it was leaked on accident or something, and then Stern was saying pull it down, but I saw a Deadflip post about it, so I was like, whatever. He's in bed with Stern, so it's free game now. We can just post whatever we want. So,
Ollie Oxen free.
Yes. Whoa Nelly Big Juicy Melons has been rethemed into Pabst Can Crusher with art by Dirty Donnie. And it looks pretty awesome. I don't know. We have not seen the game put together yet, but the playfield art looks sweet, and the back glass art looks awesome. So
yeah, and Whoa Nelly's a fun player. So We kind of have a Shrek Family Guy situation there where maybe the player's good, but for some reason or other, Whoa Nelly maybe not as spoke to certain people where this PBR might.
It's a kind of a nice way to change, I don't know, keep the layout, but change the theme quite a bit.
It'd be a great theme for a bar, obviously. Like if a bar just had one game, I think that would be a pretty solid pick. Low maintenance, good theme, probably pretty widely appealing to all ages there. So,
yeah, there are some attractive women on the playfield, but it's definitely not as sexualized as Whoa Nelly. That's sort of the big complaint with that game. But there's just Pabst cans everywhere. There's probably, I don't even know, 60 cans on the playfield. They're just everywhere.
Crushed.
Many are crushed, yes. Anyway, I like that they were able to get some more miles out of that. I wonder if Greg and Dennis are getting a kickback on using that design, or I don't know how all that works.
Yeah, I guess it depends if they were getting paid per unit sold or if they sold the design to Stern. I don't know how that
would work. Don't know. And also there's a band on the back glass, and I can't tell if it's a real band or just some punk rock looking dudes. Kind of looks like Mastodon or something, but I don't know.
I think it's just generic beer drinking generic band. Rock band. Yeah
it's like they're just having a kegger in the woods. That's the theme of the game,
crushing some cans.
Yes.
Yeah,
anyway, pretty cool. That I was definitely surprised about that. I think everybody knew Dirty Donnie was working on a Stern project.
Yeah. But, I had not heard any rumors of a Whoa Nelly retheme.
Right. Correct. Same boat here. So, and as I mentioned earlier, I sold Batman Dark Knight to Ryan, and that is the latest color DMD.
Yeah. If so you sell a game
today,
it gets a color DMD. So.
That's right. I'm trying to think if I have any games that don't have a color. Game of Thrones. I should sell Game of Thrones and then buy it back.
That means World Cup Soccer should get one.
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome, everyone.
That'd be a good one.
That would be a good one, yeah. And there's a ton of those out there, so. Not that many people probably want to dump $400 into it, but.
I don't know. That's one of the cheaper games that's really popular both in the casual and like the tournament level of players, so
sure. Yeah, you never know. But I saw the video and it didn't look bad. They kept it pretty dark, keeping with the theme, so a lot of it is like dark blues and purples and black, but the video elements especially popped and looked really cool.
Yeah,
the rumbler rolling around and whatnot.
Yeah, the digitized video looks pretty rough, whether it's monotone or color, but it looks way better in color.
Yeah, definitely.
Like
especially Iron Man. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get one.
All the blue skies and stuff.
Yeah, and see, like I have AC/DC, which is kind of a mix of the two. It doesn't have a ton of digitized stuff, but when it would use the digitized video, it was so glaringly bad compared to like the dots in AC/DC are awesome. Like all the actual animations are really really good. So when it would switch over to the video, it was so jarring. The color of DMD kind of smoothed that out a little bit.
I actually watched some of Tron Legacy this week. Can you name the main character, or excuse me, not the main character, but the main actor besides Jeff Bridges?
The guy who plays Sam Flynn?
Yes.
I would have been able to if you didn't ask me, because I know who he is.
I wouldn't have. I was trying to think, this guy is starring this huge Disney picture. Did he do anything else? And he was in, was it Unbroken, that Angelina Jolie directed film
about
a POW
camp? Yeah, like he's in it.
He was in that. He was in something else kind of big.
He was honest. Anyway, he was honestly banking on the Tron 3 movie.
Well, I'm not saying his career went nowhere, but I still don't know his name. I was cleaning out one of our bedrooms, and I had bought a ton of Tron toys on clearance because that was my dream game, and I had all these toys. Like, oh, I'll be able to do all kinds of cool stuff with this. And I saw a picture of him, and he looked kind of like a fat Jeremy Renner. I'll have to take a picture of the box that I was looking at.
Okay.
So then it got me thinking about him, and I watched like a little bit of the film. And it is kind of hokey, like a guy throwing a frisbee around. If you really just break it down and watch the action, he does not look like a badass dude throwing a frisbee around.
I don't think he's meant to be a tough guy, though.
No. It's just hard to look cool.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing a frisbee at the screen wearing a latex suit.
Yeah, it's true.
I love Tron, but
it's
not holding up in cool points.
Yeah, like, you have to keep remembering that it's just a visualized metaphor for computer programs hacking each other or whatever. But
yes.
Yeah, as far as visuals and sound go, that's pretty much all that movie is. I mean, it's got enough of a plot that it's okay, but yeah, it's... They're throwing frisbees.
Yeah.
It's awesome to crank the volume on that and just kind of sit and zone out to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wonder if my kids will get down, be into Tron.
I've shown my kids clips of that. They think the light cycle thing, like the video for that section, the light cycle, first light cycle fight, or I guess there's only one real light cycle scene when Korra busts in. They really like that. Then the fight in the club. So there's some cool scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and in other news, it looks like Frank Thomas Big Hurt is coming to the Pinball Arcade next. Indy 500 came out last week.
I haven't played that yet. Cool. I need to.
I haven't played Indy?
Not on the Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, right. Big Hurt I love, so I'm looking forward to that when it does come out.
So I wasn't joking. Does the ball bounce out of the lock shot on Indy a lot?
I don't know.
Because in the real game,
on PS4 in like a year, so I'll let you know.
Okay. Because in the real game, that lock shot bounces out very often. But I didn't know if it was going to be something that was emulated well enough in the physics that it would, or if it's just automatic that if you make the shot, it's going to lock in. It'd be interesting. So I'll have to try it.
Yeah, I don't know. That will be interesting.
I would love to see how the Avengers would play on the Pinball Arcade.
Rickety. You have to buy the Pro so you can like tweak stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking more about the Pro. So the Pro version of any table is $8, whereas the regular table is $5, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem kind of insane? I could see like $1 in that purchase to get the Pro, but $8, an extra $3. I just keep thinking more and more about how insane the pricing on Pinball Arcade is.
The only game I've gone pro is Scared Stiff because by default it has family mode turned on, and Scared Stiff has enough worthwhile sound drops in the, you know, adult mode or whatever that it's worth having the pro to turn that on because it's just a lot funnier. So.
J.J. Johnson gave me a code for the Pro Star Trek Next Gen, and I played around with it once, played around with those features once, and I don't know, didn't really care, but...
Yeah. Whatever. I could see, like, if they made Metallica or something and you wanted to turn on adult mode, that would be reason for it, but other than that, not too much of a reason to go Pro on most of my, I don't think. I don't know, I'd like to hear if people are, like, big fans of Pro mode, maybe. I think maybe because I've owned a lot of those games, I've already tweaked with them in person, and when I play Pinball Arcade, I'm just more looking for a little diversion, not really to dig deep into the features of the game.
Right.
So, it'd be interesting to know if there's a lot of people who are big fans of that.
Hmm. Well, we know the guys at the Blockade are. Since they said they're willing to spend $30 a table.
They are fanatics, though.
They're fanatical. That's okay. Somebody has to be. But unfortunately, Farsight listens to those guys more than the rest of us. So we need those guys to be pushing the 99-cent tables and whatnot.
That's true.
You listening, Jared? And speaking of other podcasts, I wanted to thank Taylor and Tommy over at This Flippin' Podcast, because I never knew about Barnyard Multiball and Medieval Madness until they were talking about it. And it made me do a little research. Sounds like a pretty cool mode. You collect all of the catapult junk, catapult balls, and then you hit it in there again, I guess. It starts Barnyard Multiball, and all the switches make animal noises.
I saw it by accident and had no idea what was going on. Like, because normally when I launch the catapult, I'm not concerned with even getting the highest value on, because, I mean, it is fairly significant, the lowest value to highest value.
Yeah, 500,000 to 20,000, I think.
Yeah, and I guess in a tournament setting or something, it's worth chasing the big point ones. But normally I just get through it.
I always go for the highest one.
I mean, they cycle in order, right?
Yeah, they cycle in order. So you just got to hit it when the one before the highest one comes.
Yeah,
up.
Just watch it cycle once or twice, and then you know. But it
shows you at the beginning. It gives you a preview of all five of them.
Yeah, and then it goes through.
So you kind of know, yeah.
But when I did it by accident, it was just quickly double flipping, but I wasn't consistent in my timing, and I guess I got lucky, but yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I thought it was a custom ROM or something at first. I had no clue what was going on.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too. On that Addams Family, I don't know what the deal was, but the sound ROMs were wrong or something. Like, all the sounds, when you turn it on, it would play. The Addams Family music and sounds would be in there, but there's, like, some other kind of more rock music under it.
Weird.
They definitely didn't mesh, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I looked at the ROM, and it just said, I only saw one labeled ROM, and it was Addams Family.
Huh.
So, I don't know.
That's weird. I played a Addams Family, had the gold ROMs in it the other day. That threw me off real quick.
A little bit different.
Yeah. It's different.
And the Buffalo Pinball Guys released a new episode. Bro, do you
even talk
pinball? Yeah. Episode 5 or 6, I think, came out.
Yeah, they were well aware you called him dicks, Don.
Yeah, I did call him dicks on the last episode because they got a Vector as well as Preston over at Game Room Junkies. Also released a new episode, a good episode. And Kevin and I messaged back and forth. He knew that we were joking around. But he sounded serious on the podcast. Anyway, there's no bad blood.
Yet.
We were jokingly razzing each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually listened to that episode today. So
me too. Good episode. Lots of pinball podcasts have come out lately. Another Eclectic Gamers came out. Coast to Coast is back. He does not work for Stern now, I guess.
He almost did.
Almost worked for Stern, then he didn't. So that's the issue in a nutshell.
The new Spooky just released as well. So
new Spooky. Oh, and who did the interview? I think it was Gaming Junkies did an interview with Charlie over at Spooky. That was really good. A lot of background on how Charlie got into the hobby and stuff. So Patrick and Charlie were doing it. Very cool. Okay, so let's get into feedback.
Okay.
We got a cool little story first. This is from Jay in New Jersey. He found a Williams police force that was deep in the hills of West Virginia. He didn't have a cell phone signal for most of the drive. That's how deep into the woods it was. He drove 5 hours to get there and was worn out. When he got there, the machine was already turned on. He looked it over and it played fine. So they worked out a price of $850. He had come down from his initial asking price, the seller did. He says, my mistake was not to reboot the machine and see if any errors came up.
Oh, yeah.
So the machine was on when he got there. So, yeah, good pro tip from Jay. You want to turn the game off, wait a couple seconds, turn it back on while you're there. Because on many games, it will alert you to switch errors right off the bat. Ding, 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 ding. And then it'll say what the problems are.
Or you anyway. Get that adjustment error and you like, either it doesn't have batteries or has battery acid issues or...
Yeah, factory time and date not set.
Yeah.
At home, it had a bunch of switch errors. He fixed them with a soldering iron and it's just some bad connections. If he had rebooted it there, he could have further negotiated the deal. He's not upset about buying the machine or the price, but he just wanted to share that tip for our listeners.
Oh, so, that's a good tip.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. That is a good point. We have a lot of other questions. We're just going to, I kind of cherry picked them. So if you wrote in and you don't hear your question,
Don,
you might hear
like
on
it.
A future episode. Well, some of them were larger.
They were show topics.
More research-based questions.
Yeah, they were show topics in themselves.
Yes, which maybe we could do for the next show. The next show, I think we have a special guest lined up already that I don't think you know about, but it'll be good.
It better be good.
A show after that, though, maybe we'll dig back in.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about Nick Baldridge a bunch lately. I want to bring him on, have him talk about his crazy bingo.
You've been thinking about him in Framed by Pinball or just him personally?
I've just been thinking about him, daydreaming and whatnot. And then also he has a bingo machine, so that's kind of my in to kind of get more one-on-one time with him.
Correction, he has a multi-bingo machine.
Yes.
We'll talk about that later, though.
Talk about that later. Listen to For Amusement Only podcast if you want to hear more.
And his Instagram has a quick video of it. So.
Yeah, follow Bingo Podcast on Instagram. Tons of mind-blowing stuff going on over at the Baldridge House.
Mad science. Mad science, I tell you.
Yeah. He is bonkers.
So
okay. So this is a good one. I like this. This is from Scott Larson, who wrote most of the content in our episode. Zen tables are quite complex and typically not possible to make as a physical version. That being said, which would you love to see made into a physical table if it were possible to maintain the same features? I've got one right away.
That you'd want to see made into the...
Yes.
Okay.
That you probably could do. It would be quite the feat.
How much would it weigh?
To pack it all into one cabinet would be quite the feat. But there's no, like... It doesn't have Spider-Man swinging around, like, talking to people and jumping around or anything.
No.
The game I would like to see is Tesla.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the first Zen tables. Yeah, that's it's kind of like a steampunk table. Lots of magnetics and all kinds of weird crap. Pistons and pressure-sensitive areas. And it looks awesome. So I would like to see that done.
Yeah, they can really let their mad scientists go. That's the second time I've used that term. That's weird.
Stop saying that.
In these digital tables.
Let their freak flag fly?
Sure.
Okay.
You mentioned Spider-Man. I would love to see that made. I have a Spider-Man, which I like a lot. If they could somehow make the Zen one happen, that would be pretty dang cool. But I don't know if that's my top pick or not, but that one jumps out to me as it's visually pretty cool. It has a lot going on. I think, actually, though, if I could pick one to be made physical, I would probably pick the Empire Strikes Back. Because it would be a great Star Wars pin, which we sorely need.
Right.
And it's very good and I think somewhat feasible. And there's a few little things that obviously wouldn't work, but that'd be cool.
All the complex ramps in the center, like the back and forth of the different traps or scoops and whatnot.
Yeah.
That'd be insane to see real and physically working. It'd be pretty cool.
It would be fun.
Yeah, any Star Trek table. Just give us a good Star Trek.
Star Wars. Ooh,
Star Wars. Give us a good Star Wars table. I'll take a Lego Star Wars table at this point. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Okay, another good question he had. Do we value classic titles from the 90s too much based on nostalgia or their position in the historical timeline instead of their playability against modern games? If Addams Family, Twilight Zone, Medieval, Attack from Mars were released today without their history, would they be viewed as successful releases, or would they be disappointing when compared to AC/DC, Walking Dead, Metallica, etc.? It begs the question that if someone has enough money to buy only two games, should they buy classic or modern? Well, that's kind of getting into another thing. Let's just talk about this one.
Okay. Well, I actually think that they do hold up well, but I think the one criticism they would draw would be code, just because of what people expect from a code situation now. Like I've said it 1,000 times, it's not my favorite pinball machine, but if there is a perfect pinball machine out there, it's Attack from Mars. But it's very basic on the code. If you look at some of the complaints people have about Star Wars current code, it's the modes are linear. Well,
Star Trek?
Star Trek doesn't have linear modes, but they do force you to complete.
Star Wars does?
No, I was saying Ghostbusters. I meant Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you said Star
Wars. Okay, that was confusing. Sorry. Where they say, oh, yeah, like, it's linear. You've got the three ladders. Well, if you look at something like Attack from Mars, the only thing that really changes is the voice of the like, city, you know? The voices change a little bit. It gets harder as you go, but, you know, United States could be the hardest one, or France could be the hardest one. It doesn't really change anything. And then the other modes, you always get to them the same way. I mean, and you have to complete them to get to rule the universe. And so it's a game that has very inflexible rules. And, I mean, I don't have any problem with it, but I could see a lot of people today are just like, they want, you know, complex stacking. They want, you know, all sorts of crazy depth to the game, which those 90s games just generally don't have beyond mode stacking. Or just hidden stuff. So that would be something I think it would draw criticism. But the designs in a lot of those games are just, they're just great. And I think they would hold up fine.
Unless there was a bug, the code often didn't get updated because you had to physically change out ROM chips.
Right.
So what they shipped with is what you got in most cases. There was prototype code and then finished code.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think they had longer time to cook. You know, they spent more time on art, on sound,
yeah, they
speech.
Had so many more teams.
Shots. Yeah, they had a lot more going on, more resources. I think all those games hold up today as good as new games or even better. I don't think it's hyper nostalgia at all, especially someone like me who's only been in the hobby like 8 or 9 years. There's no nostalgia for Medieval Madness for me or any of those games. Adam's Family and Terminator 2 are about all I remember from. the old days, and I am not an Adam's Family fan, and you know, Terminator 2, it would be better with more code. I mean, they're both good games, but yeah, code is definitely the one spot that needs a brush up, and that's what some of them are getting. Cactus Canyon continued, and who knows if that Funhouse project will ever happen. A couple other projects like that, Demo Man remastered.
Yeah.
I'd love to see more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that, like I said, the designs are pretty solid. But, you know, if you compare a Richie game from the mid-90s and compare it to AC/DC, it's night and day difference as far as the things you can do in the game. But,
sure.
You know, the nice thing about the 90s games is you can see all of them being all of the game, even if you're a pretty average player. Like,
yeah,
you may not get to rule the universe on Attack from Mars, but you'll probably get to attack Mars. You know, you'll probably get to the main wizard mode. Whereas someone may never see the wizard mode in a modern Stern, like the main wizard mode. They might see some of the mini ones or the weird one-offs, but you know, pro players don't see Valinor that often, or the end of the Simpsons Pinball Party, you never see it. So it's just a whole different beast, and it kind of depends what you want out of your games. So,
yeah, good question. But the classics are the classics for a reason.
True.
All right. What was he saying? Oh, and it begs the question: if someone has enough money to buy only two games, should they buy classic or modern? This doesn't even factor in maintenance time for upkeep on a 20-year-old game. I think that it does. If you had two new in-box 90s games versus one new in-box new Stern, we'll definitely go with the two 90s games. Build quality was the same, if not maybe a little better. I don't think Stern build quality is that bad, except for the decal issues. And maintenance time is everything. Like, you buy a new in-box Stern, at the minimum you're getting some service and parts, at least for a little while, whereas you're not buying any, you know, there's no warranty on a 20-year-old game, and there's 20 years of play on them, so I think that's a huge factor.
Yeah, that's true.
I think everybody starts with quantity over quality. When they start collecting, they're just buying up everything they can get their hands on, trying everything out, and then you kind of get to a point, at least I do. And I was listening to a podcast where they said the same thing. It might have been Game Room Junkies. You kind of get to the point where you just want your keepers, and they're cleaned up, and then you have like one project. And you just keep flipping out one project and bringing in something new to play with. But,
If
that makes sense.
The nice thing about the classics, they're easy to move along. There's little to no risk in picking one up. So if you only have space or means, like budget-wise, for two games, back before, you know, Stern was really cranking out games that you wanted to own, I had a machine going and coming every week. And there's always someone in the market for, B and A list games. And there's far more people in the market for those than there are for a new in-box game. So
sure.
Less of a chance that you're going to buy a game and have to sit on it for a while. So
sure. Another good question from Scott. What makes a keeper game? What games are your keepers and why? It's something we hadn't talked about in a while. You have a lot more keepers than I do, I think. But then, not too long ago, you were talking about selling everything and just keeping whatever was left.
Luckily that madness passed before I sold anything. That went
pretty quick.
Yeah. For me, there's a balance. I like hard games. Games that are going to continually challenge me over and over. But I also have, you know, kids and a wife that play fairly casually, but they enjoy the game. So I don't want them to feel like pinball is inaccessible to them. And lately I've been doing a lot more pinball nights with locals, with coworkers and stuff like that. So for me, keeper games are stuff that I feel like I can step to and get a good balance on of challenge on it, and my guests can enjoy it. So something like Tron or Iron Man, they're fast and they're brutal, but in the short amount of time that maybe lesser experienced players can step to them and play, they have a good time. Like they when they lose their ball, they're not so frustrated. They kind of laugh it off, but at least they saw something kind of cool happen in that short amount of time. So I try and ride that balance. And then I just have a few sprinkled in that are maybe a little bit more for others than myself. And that's okay. If you have space, if you have a very small, limited area, then you kind of have to be a little bit selfish about what you keep and just hope that the others enjoy it too. When I was space limited, I had Indiana Jones and I sold it fairly quickly. And it was because no one else played it. I played it. I liked it. But no one else did, so I moved it along. And I kind of miss owning the game now. But at that time, I didn't have a lot of space. And if I had a game that nobody touched, to me, it was worth switching out. And I got Spider-Man and Attack from Mars for that game. So both are games I still have because I enjoy them and so do others.
But. So do you have a three? If you had to pick three keepers, could you pick three?
Yeah, I could. It wouldn't be easy, and I'd like to wait until I've had some time on Ghostbusters to make that call, but, out of my collection, I would probably keep Twilight Zone, AC/DC, and Attack from Mars.
Okay.
So, it's really tough not to say Iron Man, but.
Cool. I think my keepers are Pinbot, Roadshow, and Metallica, which I never really thought about, but that's three different decades of pinball.
And very different play styles.
Yeah, yeah. What makes a keeper? You pretty much went over it, you know. I got rid of Judge Dredd because nobody played it but me. And I do regret it because nobody plays any of them but me. But
yeah, I would love to have Judge Dredd, but
shut up. There's one for sale here that I'm trying desperately not to buy. The game, I don't know what happened with that game. It's tripled in value. Doubled and tripled.
Yeah, it really took off.
Weird. Okay. Michael Paul Schmidt wrote in more of Jeff's health status. I think he was joking there.
No,
pretty
he's not.
Pretty positive he was
That's
joking
the interesting
there.
Stuff.
Jeff is fine.
I got sunburned.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Soon to be Ghostbusters. We kind of talked about my pinball lineup shakeup. We talked about Jeff's honest take on The Hobbit.
I'm not hot on The Hobbit, is what I'll say. I don't think it's a bad game by any means. I just feel like, as I've said several times, it's a wide body game with a standard body layout. Like, it just feels like the shots are too spread apart, making them very safe. And if it wasn't for the pop-ups constantly interrupting things, nothing would just really break that flow because the ramps are very easy to hit. Owners say it's a different shot from each flipper, but it's not. It's just a just barely off-center shot from either flipper to hit those, and they're easily backhandable as well. So my thing with the Hobbit is it's probably got the most exciting coder in the business on it. I think Keith Johnson does amazing, incredible work, but I just feel like he has kind of a handicap as far as layout goes on this one. And he's also kind of forced to use those pop-ups. I just think they're there way too often. They break the flow, which again is sort of a good thing because then it would be too easy without them, but you get so sick of them. And then there's modes that are like bash the orc, and I don't want to do that anymore. I have to do it every time it goes through the in lane anyway, or kill the spider. I don't want to kill the spider. I've already done that 100 times. It does do some really cool and neat things. You know, like, there's some great ideas there. I just feel like the layout's very pedestrian, very easy, very safe. So, I don't know. It feels like the game doesn't know what it wants to be. Does it want to be a flowy machine, or does it want to be a shooting gallery? And it's trying to be both, and I think really you have to choose one or the other to have a good experience.
Nice thing with Keith is that he keeps working on games until he's done with them. I know stuff like Wheel of Fortune doesn't have an official release, but we know that there's a more finished code out there. I think if something happened with Jersey Jack and they weren't around, Keith would find a way to get new code out.
So you heard that people hack Keith's personal computers?
No.
Oh, wait, no.
I'm saying he, for his own satisfaction, seems to work on his games.
Yeah.
Until he's satisfied, for the most part. I don't know him. Seems like a good guy, but I don't think he likes unfinished code in the game either. He's an excellent player, so.
Yeah, he's a top level player.
So anyway,
I don't know.
Speaking of which, oh sorry.
I was just gonna say, it's so hard because a lot of people feel like you either have to love something or hate something. For me, it's okay. Like The Hobbit's fine. There's a lot of pressure for every release to be. Is it a top 10 game? Like, no, and. There's people who feel that it is, and that's great, but I think over time it's going to shake out and it's going to be a top 100 game, maybe bottom half of the top 100, and that's okay. It's okay that every game's not the best game, and I feel it's not, so that's all right. Okay. I will play one if I see it on location, though. I won't snub it. Yes. I don't dislike it.
Right. I don't need to own it, but it's still fun to play. It's still okay to play. Okay, Chuck Wirt wrote in.
Pinball.
It's pinball, yes. Keep flip part out. Game of Thrones, we'll say pro. Ghostbusters, we'll say pro. Hobbit, we'll say pro.
You go first.
I guess at this point.
You've almost made this decision almost.
Yeah, well, I like Ghostbusters, but, you know, measles have one. Trying to think. I might keep Ghostbusters over Game of Thrones, but I will keep Game of Thrones, flip Ghostbusters, and part out Hobbit.
Save some of that art.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a money thing, I'd want more money for Hobbit, but there's a bunch of those for sale right now, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, for me, it sounds like it'd be a no-brainer, just because Ghostbusters has been a thing I've been whining about for 10 years to finally get, and it's finally here. But I really, really like Game of Thrones. I think that's a great game, and they're not done working on it. So, I mean, if we can just get Metallica code last week,
yeah, crazy.
There's probably plenty in store for Game of Thrones because it's sold well, it's backordered, so they have all the reason in the world to keep supporting it. But, I mean, Ghostbusters is my dream theme. Like, it's what I've always wanted. So, on principle, I have to keep it. But I've played Game of Thrones, you know, a lot more. I know it's a solid game. It's one I'd be happy owning. If I win the Project Pinball sweepstakes, I would take Game of Thrones. But no, I think I'd keep the Ghostbusters. I would flip the Game of Thrones and part out the Hobbit as well. But I mean, parting out Game of Thrones, like, well, there's no art you'd want to keep, right? Like,
yeah. Let's just go straight into the fire.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Sly Cly Fraley? I never know how to say this guy's name. We were joking around about Tony Hawk. Clay Fraley. All right, whatever. Radical was the last skate pin. Can we have another? A modern skate pin would be amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree. I am a diehard Tony Hawk fan. Oftentimes people ask what my favorite game ever is. I would just say Tony Hawk series.
Pro Skater 1 or 2? Or 3?
I prefer Pro Skater 1. I know 2 is the critical darling. I actually like Underground a lot.
A thug fan, huh?
I'm a Thug fan.
Just as long as you don't say Project 8.
I like all
8.
Of them. I like Project 8 a lot, too.
I should give you my shirt. I went to a media event to play Project 8 when it was unveiled. So.
Project 8 was great. Now, there are some awful Tony Hawk games.
Right.
But Project 8 isn't one of them. Project 8's great.
It's just that
Project 5 is terrible.
Yeah. The problem is that Project 8 came out when Skate came out. And it just didn't compare well.
No, Skate was going for the same feel and did it much better. But then they went back to American Wasteland, and I liked that one too.
Yeah, so in 1997, it would have been amazing to get a Tony Hawk Pro Skater pin.
Yes. 1999, whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking up. There's one that I didn't like. I can't remember the name of it, but now it's bothering me.
Could you know how awesome that would have been? Like, just everything from soundtrack to just look and feel. Someone ought to take No Fear and retheme it.
Yeah. All skateboarding. American Wasteland was the one I didn't like. I liked Proving Ground.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that would... Okay, that's what we're going to have to do for a featured five. Five games that would make for good Tony Hawk Pro Skater retheme.
Oh, I love that idea.
We might have to do that.
Oh, Rollercoaster Tycoon, Vector.
Don't blow it down. Skateball. No.
Oh, man, now I want to go play Tony Hawk.
I know. I remember getting that. I got it on the Nintendo 64 before the PlayStation. Mm. And Pro Skater 2 just looked so like nice and clean on it because the Nintendo 64 had better anti-aliasing and stuff.
The edges were nice and smooth.
Yeah. And I remember just like thinking that was the ultimate. And then when I got it on the Dreamcast, forget it, man. That was silky smooth. Just the sound of those sticks and buttons pulling off of those crazy tricks.
There's only one skater who's been in every Tony Hawk game.
Tony Hawk?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't Bam Margera in like almost all of them?
He is in 7 of them. Rodney Mullen's in almost all of them, all but 3. That's crazy. I thought there was a couple of them that had been in a bunch. Kareem Campbell's only been in 4.
Well, of all the ones that have been in the games, Tony Hawk's probably the only one that can still rip a 900.
Yeah, I know. 48 and he just did a 900. That is insane.
Did you watch the video of him doing that?
No. I mean, I've seen him do it before, but not at age 48.
Yeah, so there's a video of him doing it at age 48, and you can tell it's not easy for him. He's
no doubt, man.
And when he's done, he just takes his helmet and throws it and walks off and like gives his son a little hug, like I did it, done, I did
shut
it.
Shut up about it.
It's cool. I mean, his bales in that video are so hard. I'm like, man, at 48, if I could take a bale half that hard, I'd be so proud of myself.
Now I want to watch it.
Go watch it. Don't tear up.
I'll try not to.
And then watch Top Gun, you bad person.
Yeah, I'll watch Top Gun eventually. Yeah, I was gonna ask you guys what movies everyone's seen, but you guys haven't seen.
I don't know.
Like Lion King. Twister, everybody's seen Twister. And It's a Wonderful Life, those are my big ones.
I was seriously shocked that 80s man himself, Joe Zankus, had not seen Top Gun. I could understand you not seeing it, just because, like, there are movies that get by you. But
I've never had cable in my entire life.
Right.
That seems like a cable kind of
movie. Oh, yeah. It was on TBS nonstop in the early 90s. But if you love the decade the way Batman loves the decade,
yeah,
Top Gun's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's got to.
So, Joe, I'm calling you out publicly. You need to watch Top Gun.
There you go.
It's not just cheesy good. It's actually good. It's a decent movie.
Okay.
So, moving on.
Moving on. Taylor Reese wrote in, would love to hear about modern communication and how hard it is to stay in touch with loved ones when they travel.
Oh.
That, or maybe talk about the Metallica update and Stern delays.
Weisenheimer.
Zzz. Yeah. My wife had her cell phone stolen / lost it in Chicago when she was gone for 8 days. So I didn't talk to her. I talked to her twice the whole time, which was awesome. Metallica update came out of nowhere, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it was pretty beefy. Like, there's new call-outs, new scoring situations.
Yes.
New animations in a couple of the modes. Crazy.
Yeah, like...
So...
Out of nowhere is right. Just...
That game's been out for 3 years. Over 3 years. And came out in April or May of 2013.
Yeah, and the cool thing is nobody was, like, whining about the code.
Nope. But no, they're like, pretty done.
Hey, it's good. Let's make it better. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, so very happy with that, obviously.
Does that mean I'm going to get an AC/DC code update at some point?
That means you never know what you're going to get now.
I think the fact is Metallica's still on the line. As long as the game's on the line, it's probably open for support. So.
Sure. But it's just, I don't know. Didn't need the help. They helped it along anyway. That's really cool.
Well, part of it has to do with the other part of his question is during those delays, what else are they going to do? I mean, you have to put something
They've already
out.
Fully coded the next game and Ghostbusters or
yeah. What? I mean, that European distributor that was saying that he's had coil stops on order from Stern for over 3 months. That's rough, man. Forget a pinball machine. If you can't just get, like, your order of coil stops fulfilled, I mean, maybe it is a good time to push out some Metallica code.
Sure.
Maybe Sharky Shootout's next. We'll see.
Yeah, delays, it's leaning towards parts issues.
Yeah. So, but, yeah. No, I was going to say, like, everyone knows that there's a play-filled something going on. The whole...
the ghosting.
Yeah, that and just everyone saying that they're switching from their old supplier to Fund Industries and there's a transition period there or they're going to do more in-house or whatever it is. But that still doesn't account for all of the stuff. And parts issues seems to make a lot of sense when you're hearing about parts being back-ordered and stuff like that. Now, in a manufacturing business, we've talked about it before, there's a lot of stuff that is under control and then there's a lot of stuff that's not. If a plant in China goes on strike or gets shut down by the government, or if some material spikes in cost and the factories that make your pieces refuse to do it at the negotiated price, or they say until, you know, prices stabilize, we're not making this part, you're kind of screwed unless you're willing to have an inventory. Pinball's getting to where it's more stable, and I think maybe... a company like Stern might be more open to having an inventory on parts, but it's something that they never really could do because they were always one flop away from closing doors for so long. Now, right. Now that's not the case anymore. My dad owns a manufacturing business. It's like medical, robotics, aeronautics, stuff like that. And they are able to have a stock of materials, but that's all they need is the raw material there. He's the one that makes the parts. So he doesn't have those same sort of challenges, but you know, if some steel plant that supplies him with steel shut down for a very long period of time, he would burn through his inventory and he would have to start putting things on back order and it would frustrate, you know, customers. And then that customer's customers would feel frustration. So somewhere along the line, there was a kink in the hose. I think it's lasted a lot longer than anybody expected because Stern kept saying, hey, 7 to 10 days till game X or game Y is back on the line. And 7 to 10 days have passed and
well, we expect it's another 7 to 10 days till we see these back on the line, and they'll be shipping shortly after. So no, they never said what the delay is, and that could be contractual. Maybe they're not allowed to talk about, you know, who supplies to them or the state of that stuff, but it's obvious that it was something big, and it's still ongoing, because even if you, when they do their factory tours, it looks like there's just a very small amount of people compared to what we used to see on the factory floor, and they just must not have enough inventory coming through to build the machines fast enough. I mean, we know they're backlogged thousands and thousands of games, and that's crazy.
Hope they can figure it out and catch up.
You'll get your Ghostbusters, Taylor.
/ Jeff.
Mine's
Jeff's
on a truck.
All cocky now that his is in the truck, yeah.
No,
changed man over here.
No, I haven't changed my opinion on the fact that they still should have acknowledged it. Like, they still should have said, like, directly
I'm just
to the
company.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're,
they shouldn't have said
the
it to
piss
the.
Piss is out of the vinegar now.
No, it's still there. Because I'm still like bugged for those people that ordered Metallica in January and are still waiting. Like, that's a long time. But the my thing is they don't owe it to maybe the general public, but they got to tell the distributors, like, what's up. And
stop telling people it's 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, just say, like, straight up, guys, we do have a backup on the line. We've given you the green light to continue accepting orders if that's how you want to do it, just so you know. We as a company don't endorse the pre-order model. We take orders and then build accordingly. But, yeah, we've got a part shortage, or we've got some quality control. They don't even have to say quality issues. Just say we are clamping down and revamping our quality control process, and we want to make sure everything's up to our new quality standards before it goes out. And
yeah, okay.
We don't know when they're going to start shipping, but they will. Stay with us. So I think it's better than posting stay tuned ... every 7 to 10 days on the Facebook page.
So in the music business, when CDs were a thing, they used to be, when stuff like this came up or when there was a slow period, they would push catalog sales, which is like not new releases. Maybe they should do some catalog sales. Push WWE down to 3K new in box. Give some incentive for distributors to get rid of some of this old inventory.
Yeah, don't people
and
always
keep people buying games?
Don't people always say they have like tons of components to build NBAs around? Blow those out.
I'd be down for an NBA. 3K, I'll buy an NBA right now.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Stern, you and me.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Spooky's getting games out, so
somebody's
different suppliers.
Making coil stops.
Yeah, somebody's got coil stops. Sorry.
All right. David DeSluver wrote in, how about pinball machines that are on the easier side for folks who are interested in doing a project pin? Should one go on the route, one go the way of the EM or a simpler design solid state, DMD, which is easier to swap the playfield, parts are easier, cheaper to find, etc. Just a thought. I have a very clear-cut answer on this. I would say very early solid state.
Yes.
You might not be able to find plastics, but even then, a lot of the stuff that is getting reproduced is stuff from the early solid-state era. But when you get something like a Black Jack, where it's just a flat playfield, it's basically an EM, but you can throw a $150 Altec board in there.
That covers a lot of games, yeah.
Your gold, yeah. I mean, it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Lots of parts out there. Anything that uses kind of like those EM-ish parts, there's a shitload of them out there, so...
Yep.
It's very easy to clean. You pull off the plastics, just clean up, put them right back on. You can shop a game in a day, in a night.
Yeah. In fact, we know modern games are not easy to shop or whatever a lot of times. Those classic solid states, like you said, they come apart. They're very easy to take apart from the top side. There's not a lot on the bottom side.
They're like $500.
Yeah. And you know what? EMs are very simple in operation, but you can very quickly lose control of what you're doing on an EM, getting a bunch of switches out of alignment or things like that. Like EMs, I think, if you're not very experienced, are okay to get in working condition, but maybe need adjustments. But if you're looking for like a full-on project, EMs are actually pretty tough. Very finicky with like voltages, very much with alignments and stuff. Yeah, I would... Definitely with you on board that classic solid estates a great place to start if you want to start learning maintenance and repair.
Go to Alltech, look at one of their universal boards, and there's a list of games on them. There's, you know, 30 to 50 games just listed right there on the board. These are the games that this board supports. And you can start looking for those projects. I don't know. Boards are probably the main thing that I'd be nervous about on those games because the parts are easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, those era of games, they can take a beating as well. They're really reliable once you get the electronics sorted.
And you're not dropping $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 on them.
Yeah, you're $400 or $500.
Yeah. So definitely a good place to start and easy. Pros and cons on when you run out of space, you decide to put your pins on location. This is also from David. Pros is you can get more games. If you have a location, then there's a couple games you have. You can go play them. They're not in your house. Taking up room in your house. Cons, they're not in your house, and you never know what the general public is going to do. It's nice to have them out there earning if you can find a safe location, and just be prepared for them to get damaged if that is something that arises.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen to some degree. Anything minor, from people sticking gum to the bottom of the cabinet to, you know, a lot just broken mechanical stuff based on number of play and wear, but...
Yeah, writing their name in the side of the cab.
Yeah.
Depends on the location, so...
Be prepared for a scratched-in penis on the decals, so...
We've kind of talked about this on other episodes. It's probably been a while. One other rule of thumb, if you're going to do that, is I think if a game is under 3K, you take a... Well, I'm on the side where the operator should take a large portion of the cut. And location, not necessarily taking any, because you become a destination if you have three or more games.
Yeah, if you're generating like revenue for that place rather than buying just a bunch of people standing in there taking up space. Yeah. If it's a bar, they should be begging you to put games there.
Yeah. So under 3K, you can probably go 50 cents. Over 3K, go $1. On Buffalo, they were talking about somebody had a Hobbit on location for 50 cents. We talked about this before. When the standard became 50 cents in 1984, that was $1.15.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, so I'm kind of pro dollar per play, which probably a lot of people are pissed about. Obviously, it'd be nice if they were cheaper, but...
Yeah, everything building
incentives here, like three plays for $2 and that kind of thing.
Yeah, everything here is 50 cents a play, and then they almost always do the three credits for $1. Except for the Nickel Arcade, which is 15 cents, which is awesome. But
it's nice, but there's not much incentive to have high-end games on location that are being taken care of.
Right.
If it's making $200 a month, whereas if it's making $400 or more, like there's a big difference on how often the operator's going to visit.
Right.
So, anyway.
I wish James... I had a location to put some games on. I do. I would...
Me too.
I would buy some to put out there.
So. Yeah. I would have plenty of room for Pinbot and Roller Coaster Tycoon if I had a couple games out there.
Yeah.
Keep Flip Part from James Hale. Dracula Stern Dracula, Meteor, or Trident?
Oh.
I haven't seen Trident in a long time. I have to look that one up.
I just picked up a Meteor.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Trident with the weird back glass.
Yeah.
The tentacle porn. Looks cool.
The deal with these oddities is, like, I'm always tempted to keep the weird one, like Trident. And Trident right. has the... It kind of has the Meteor layout to it with an extra spinner. But I picked up Meteor for a reason. Like, I targeted that game, and then when one came up, I went for it. So I'd probably still keep the Trident. The Meteor.
Meteor.
I think I'd flip the Trident, because I think parting that out would be kind of criminal, right? Like, it's not common enough.
Yeah, but then you're parting out the Dracula.
That's
not common at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I've seen Dracula once I think I've seen both those games once.
I like,
I know for sure I've seen Dracula.
Yeah. I'd like him to switch Trident with Nosferatu so we could talk about that back glass again.
That bulge, yeah.
He's packing. I think I need to play Trident again. I think I played it at California Extreme. I'd have to play it again. It's kind of got a cool layout. But
so does Dracula.
So does Dracula. But I already know I like Meteor a lot.
I'd probably keep Dracula. I don't like the back glass, but I like the actual art in. I like the layout, and I have played it, and I remember it being fun.
Yeah.
I guess I would flip the Trident. Lots of people would like to have that game in their collection, I'm sure. It does look like a lot of fun. And Meteor, there's a million Meteors. The world's not going to miss one of them.
No, and there's a million people that would love parts for it, too.
There you go. Bingo.
You would be doing a service if you parted one out.
Especially that playfield.
Yeah, that playfield gets hammered. I think I might... I'm trying to decide now, like, how all in do I want to go with this Meteor? Because CPR's taken interest for... doing the playfield and stuff. So I've emailed them and said, yeah, I think I'd be interested. Since it's not a pre-order, it's just interest gauging. But the playfield's going to cost more than the game. So I don't know. It's hard. I mean, it's cool to take those old games and make them brand new again and have a true, you know, classic and like new condition. But it doubles or triples the cost of the game to do that, which you'll never get back out of it if you do decide to get rid of it down the line. So you're doing it for the love of pinball at that point.
Yes.
So how much do I love Meteor? We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Okay. Scott Larson wrote in. I like the next five questions are from him.
Rapid fire.
Let's see. So we got 15 minutes left. You want to just cherry pick from the rest of this list? Are you looking at the outline?
No, I looked at the questions earlier, and now okay, I'm just letting you surprise me. So
let me just take a quick pick then. So we're running out of time here. Yeah, a couple of these could go pretty long. Well, we've talked a lot about Scott Larson. Let me throw in this one from Kevin Fitzgerald. Zacharia Pinball is out on Steam. Came out a couple weeks ago. Seems pretty great. Could you talk about that? I watched somebody playing it on...
Twitch?
Twitch, yes. Eric gave me a heads up somebody was playing it, so I watched. And, yeah, I mean, I'm a Zacharia sucker. I think you get the whole thing for $40. You get 39 tables, I think. 36 tables, somewhere in there. Tons of good features, yeah. I'm glad it's on Steam. That means it'll probably be on sale at some point.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like the app where you can get a bunch of free content, and then there's paid content, right?
Yeah, there. The paid content is like having different balls, and it's kind of like the pro menus.
Yeah, yeah. In fact,
I think it should come in. Altogether for that $40 price, though, you should get everything. That's the gold price on the app.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they mentioned it briefly on the Giant Bombcast, so it made a blip in the mainstream world of gaming. So
cool. I never noticed on the the pin game journal calendar this month is Roadrunner, the Atari Roadrunner. It looks like Roadrunner is licking Wile E. Coyote's ass.
Oh.
So look that up, folks. Roadrunner Atari Backlash.
The true reason it was canceled.
Yes. And Kevin also says, Time Shock Ultra got a Linux version today. According to one of the devs on the forum, the cabinet version will be out within days. Yeah, I kind of forgot Time Shock was a thing until they posted last month.
Yeah, that's a cool looking project there. It'd be nice if it would show up in my hands.
Yes. I don't know really what all to say about it. I don't run Linux on
anything.
It's
neat.
So I'm glad it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a little handheld that plays Linux, but I don't think it would run that Time Shock.
What? What do you mean? You have a handheld that plays Linux? For what?
That plays Linux. It's a Linux machine that can play a bunch of games. Like, I've used it for emulators and stuff like that. So.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to FTP stuff to it when I want to upload new files.
Okay. All right. So we'll save some of these questions, but one from John Cosson. How about the hardest versus most satisfying shots? Are they both the same? Now, this is ripe for a top five, but I think it's easy to just rattle off a couple. The one that immediately pops to mind is
Final Draw.
The whole, is what?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Final Draw. On
what the hell's Final Draw? Oh, on World Cup Soccer?
Yes. That's a tough shot. When you need to hit it.
Because it gets in your head.
Yeah, when you need to hit it, that is a hard shot.
Yeah, that's true. No, I was thinking like the hole in one on No Good Gophers.
Oh yeah, that's
super really satisfying, but pretty difficult to make.
Yeah,
Man, I just had another one the other day. I can never get it in Red's mouth, so I'm always happy when I get it in their mouth.
Ghostbusters right ramp, right? No, I think there's a lot of correlation there. When I was at Pinnagogo, I played Punk, and hitting that furthest upper left shot, it's super, super long. It's basically as long of a shot as you can have, and you hit it, it's awesome. Like, it's not an easy thing to hit, but I think, well, but you know what, that's not always true, because like the Black Widow shot in the Avengers, all I ever feel when I hit that is like, finally, like it made the turn, thank goodness, piece of crap.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not, let's see.
It's a hard shot to make clean, but it doesn't make me happy. It shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, right. Getting the extra ball on Walking Dead is always satisfying.
Yeah.
That Woodbury
shot. Woodbury shot. It's not the hardest shot, but the lock shot and extra ball shot in Twilight Zone is always satisfying.
Yeah, way in the back there.
Yeah.
I think it's really satisfying nailing the camera shot on that game.
Yes, it is. Once you know that if you hold the left flipper button down, it becomes a lot easier, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, it still feels good. It just slaps right back in.
Very good feel. Yeah. So, same with, like,
the piano.
The jackpot. Hitting it into the piano.
Yeah.
The jackpot.
The piano feels good. We played a split flipper tournament last week, and I played with some guy, and he didn't know that flipper was up there, so I kept telling him, flip, flip, flip. And he had to eventually, I just moved out of the way so he could lean over and see that upper flipper to nail the piano because he was on the left flipper.
It changes that game knowing that that's there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. No, I think most of the time, though, if it's a well-designed machine, the tough shots are very, like, where the code makes it so you don't have to hit it all the time. So rather than being frustrating, it's very situational. And then when you hit it in that situation, it does feel really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to think about it more. Man, I had a really good one the other day, and I can't think of it. I mean, I keep thinking about the spinner on Old Chicago, because I can never seem to hit it now, but when you nail it, and it...
Oh, yeah.
Feels good, but there's lots of games kind of like that. Oh, I got a spinner decal for Game of Thrones that looks like the... You know that coin that...
The faceless man gives?
I guess, yeah. The Arya gets?
Yeah.
Anyway, It turns the spinner into that coin.
That's cool.
The head and tails of that coin. Yeah, pretty cool. I just need to throw it on there. Okay. I think let's call it a show. We're coming up on 90 minutes. And, well, we had a good time talking pinball tonight.
Yeah.
If you have questions or comments, you can always email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. I'd also like to give a shout out to Nifty LED. Thanks for continuing to support us. Thank you to the listeners for continuing to listen to us. And Ulek Store, ulekstore.com. Through the end of this month, not last month, but this month, you can enter code PINBALLPODCAST to save 20% on your order. And Measle Mods, enter code MOD, M-A-U-D-E, like the TV show, to save, what was it? I gotta go back and look. 15% on any Measle Mods items. It's M-E-Z-E-L-M-O-D-S.com. ThePinballPodcast.com, you can check us out there. Now, The first post is a sticky of our ranked games, but then under that, you'll see the most recent posts.
Yeah. I went ahead and cut the featured machine, so you have to click continue reading.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. So. And you can check us out on Twitcher. What's it called?
Stitcher, which is now owned by something else, right?
I have no idea.
We're there.
We're there on Stitcher. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Check out Pinball Podcast. Ooh, I almost said something awful.
Did you say Snapchat?
Almost said that. Pinball Podcast on all of those things. Yeah. And we're on the Googles. We're on Bing. You can check us out on Bing. And Yahoo Groups.
And Angel Fire.
Angel Fire, yes. Alta Vista, check us out.
GeoCities, we're there.
We're there. We're everywhere you want to be. So. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thanks, Jeff.
Play more Overwatch.
What level are you?
Well, I switched to PC. So
here we go.
Now
I'm level 4. No.
No. So I'm like, after switching to PC, I'm like 15 or something like that.
Damn.
But
I'm like 17. Period.
Well, the reason like when you switch, you're playing with all the new people, but you're experienced because I played, you know, 10, 15 hours on PlayStation 4. And I know all the tricks, and I had quite a blast. That's a pun. Playing with like Pharah, knocking people off the map as they're running along the edge in Ilios or whatever, and just that works with new players. And so I was getting a lot of XP really quickly.
Nice.
So I'll play some PS4 with you later.
Yeah, okay. The guys I play with are in Toronto, so they're 2 hours ahead. So by the time I get on, they're getting off. I get on like 8:30 my time, which is 10:30 their time, and they're usually done by 11.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah, that's rude. Just change the group chat. Yeah. Kick me out.
Oh, I'm so tired. I can't stop yawning. Oh, so look, Don's here. Shame, Don. We've been playing for 2 hours, but
yes,
yeah. We'll play. I'm not opposed to going back to PS4. I get it on the big TV and all that, but.
Who do you main? I forget.
I switch around situationally. I like Mercy, Roadhog, Pharah. I don't know.
Okay.
Depends. Mercy's my favorite to play.
Yeah, Mercy's mine too.
It's so fun zipping around and doing what you do.
I like Lucio. I like Soldier 76.
Good,
easy shooter.
All I know is that Hanzo players are the worst, and Bastion players are the second worst. So,
Hanzo players at least have some skill.
They still just spam.
What's his name? Trobjorn or whatever?
Torbjorn. They
have no skill there.
Garbage people.
Same with Bastion. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, guys.
yep. There's your Overwatch Minute.
Yeah. Great game.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Make a good
see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
Oh, whoa. There's possibly a Joe Zinkus pinball popcorn right now.
Yeah.
He messaged us while we were writing, and so I don't know if he's going to have it done by tomorrow. But
If he does, right,
thank
here.
You, Joe.
If not, next show.
Yes. There you go. Okay, now goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Hey, that's my point of view.
Tony Ann, what are you doing?
Uncle Aldo called. He told me he fired you. That's your 14th job in the past 3 months. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, honey, I understand you're upset. Hey, maybe you'd feel better
after we play some pinball.
Forget it! I'm through wasting my life with you. Goodbye.
What about the rest of my stuff?
Your stuff? There is no your stuff. I have paid for everything.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not true. I paid for the popcorn machine. Everything's just falling apart. Sam, you remember how things were when we were young?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I felt good about myself back then.
I used to be good at pinball.
Now I'm in my 30s, I can't hold a job, I go out with women I don't even like. And worst of all, I take crap from absolutely everybody.
On pin side.
Yeah, well, things could be worse, you know. I could have got my nose bit off by a Saigon whore.
You bastard!
Hey, I'm just messing with you, Jimmy. I saw you down there. Hey, Mazzetti, get Jimmy a beer on me.
A guy like Bowen Cairns.
That's a great life.
Why, just because he's...
Is that a pinball?
No, because he doesn't take crap from anybody. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those who get stomped on and those who do the stomping.
Where'd you come up with that theory?
That famous guy said it. What's his name?
Roger Sharp.
Well, Mitch, looks like we got ourselves a
pinball tournament.
Huh? Great, it's
pinball
time. Can I be on their side?
Looks like there's gonna be a brawl. You playing something good?
Hell yeah!
Stern!
Rolling Stones!
Scott Lee!
Street fighting, man! Bring it up!
Hey, how come you're in a pool cue? Note to self. Learn to
play pinball.
This is so we can get a free commercial for
our pinball tournament
on live television.
3, 2.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anton Phillips. We'll return in a moment to the Channel 11 movie matinee, but I'm right here with you live to show you a great batch of
shopped out pinballs.
Like this one-year-old
Game of Thrones.
Priced right at $36,000. Fully loaded.
Pin blades.
Standard.
LED lighting.
Standard.
Hey, the coin door looks a little small there.
This is live. I'm on live TV.
Coin door.
It's fine. As you can see, friend, it's not small. I'll show you right here.
Well, you got a dead
coil on the flipper mechanism.
What? No. It can't be.
Yes, it was. It was a
dead coil.
It wasn't a
dead coil.
Pal, I know it.
Dead coil.
When I see one.
What's happening? Hey, folks. Yeah, come on down.
Hey, here's a
another dead coil in this pinball cabinet.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
What are you doing?
I've never seen so many dead
pinball coils
in all my life.
Lord knows I have.
Hey, Doc, what happened to your foot?
What I don't understand is when you owe a bookie a lot of money
for losing that pinball,
and he, say, blows off one of your toes, you still own the money. Doesn't seem fair to me. Especially when he's going to kill me in 4 days anyway.
Hey, that was really funny. He's
changing all our pinball settings to tournament mode on one ball.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought it was funny, but I'm surprised you guys did because you got your asses kicked.